Hi, my name is Matt Jaded, and this is the Those Who Can Teach and Do podcast series hosted at opensource.com. In this series, we'll be having conversations with people who are working hard to bridge the worlds of education and open source, often playing the role of a learner as they go. Our first interview in this series is with Grant Hearn, a lecturer at the University of the Western Cape in South Africa. This interview was recorded at the 2011 Technical Symposium of the Special Interest Group in Computer Science Education, which took place in early March in Dallas, Texas. Full Creative Commons attribution rolls at the end. My name is Matt Jaded. I'm here today at SIGC 2011, which is taking place this year in Dallas, Texas. And I'm here with Grant Hearn from the University of the Western Cape in South Africa. And he recently took part in a POSSE experience, which is a program run by, started by Red Hat, which stands for the Professor's Open Source Summer Experience, or perhaps it's Software Experience, depending on what time of the year it runs. So I wanted to talk to Grant a bit today about his experiences with that workshop and some of the things that he might get involved with going forward. So Grant, do you mind telling us a bit about yourself and your experiences with that workshop, how it came to be, and perhaps where you're going to, what you might do from there?
Yeah, of course. Prior to my invitation to POSSE, I had actually never considered engaging with open source projects for teaching purposes. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when I went along, I was initially quite skeptical. But the experience of POSSE was incredible, especially Mel and Jan, who was there, and who was at Piros. They just threw us straight into the deep end. You know, it was the, just jump right in, chaps, just get going stuff. And in fact, it turned out to be quite a remarkable experience. And it only took a week. I think it was literally 5 days, Monday to Friday. But in that time, all of us managed to engage with and participate meaningfully in some or other open source project. And what was more important about it was that we were guided through the steps on exactly how to do this. So, of course, the learning curve was flattened for us because we had experienced people there. But it did at the same time give us a good idea of what it would be like for our students to go through the same kind of process. And to me, the most important thing was that at the end of only 5 days, everyone had made a meaningful contribution.
So what were some of the kinds of things that you did during the workshop? All right, so you came in skeptical. What were some of the kinds of things that you did during the workshop, and what, how did that transform your ideas about what you might do? So you say then you had made these meaningful contributions. So yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about what that 5 days looked like for you?
Okay. Right from the beginning, of course, it was firstly a process of getting us to understand how to engage and where you can contribute. And then finding some fairly low-hanging fruit that we could deal with in a space of 5 days. And from a personal perspective, what I decided to do was I speak more than one language, and in particular I speak a language which is endemic to South Africa called Afrikaans. It is a dialect of Dutch, and I translated a large volume of the Fedora documentation into Afrikaans while we were there, and committed it and everything. So that was actually quite a rewarding experience. It wasn't an experience from a coding point of view, which I think would have been very difficult in that time frame. But nonetheless, it was a serious contribution to an open source project, which managed to get done really in the space of 3 days after we'd been through the learning curve stuff. How do you engage? Let's play with IRC. Let's, you know, so on and so forth.
Very cool. So that was an opportunity to dive in and make a contribution in a short period of time. Was it the success that helped transform your skepticism? Was it the introduction to the community? What was it that, in terms of thinking about your own practice as an educator, what about that had that transformative effect for you?
Okay, to me, in the beginning, my skepticism was rooted in the misconception, as it turned out, that it would be unlikely that one would easily achieve learning outcomes in a specified period of time. Because you know what the open source stuff is like, you know, it goes along at its own pace, it takes lots of turns and dives and splits off and does this, that, and the next thing. And it just didn't seem to me that any kind of learning outcome could be guaranteed in this process. But the process of going through the posse actually made me revise my idea about what a learning outcome was, in fact. Because the whole thing about open source is participation. And that in itself can become a major learning outcome if you structure it correctly. And also, it will depend, of course, at the level of which at which you're trying to pursue this. If you want to get coding stuff done and you only have a short period of time, you could choose some small bugs, and there's a strong likelihood that you're going to actually have a meaningful outcome. But it's more about the process here, and in particular, the fact that your students still in a undergraduate learning environment are nonetheless competing and contributing in a professional environment, in a real world environment with a real world project that people out there are already or are shortly going to be using. And it's that whole thing is quite a it's quite a step for them.
Yeah. Well, that's excellent. So I'll close with one more question. So looking forward, where do you what do you see as some next steps? What aspects of this do you think that in the short term that you'd like to start integrating into your classroom practice? So if you were to pick one thing that you might try and begin to work in, it might be big, it might be small.
Okay, our university actually last year made a commitment to open source software. Mm-hmm. So we are slowly divorcing ourselves from people like
let's say proprietary
yeah, from proprietary software. We're divorcing ourselves slowly from this, so there's a lot of scope for us now, particularly from that point of view. Our operating systems are all being changed from one proprietary brand to an open source brand, and I'm sure you can imagine which one, considering Mark Shuttleworth's
I see. Okay. Yeah. Well, no, I think we're allowed to use names of open source projects.
Okay. Well, the university has adopted Ubuntu. Okay. And so far, it's had its pluses and minuses, but sure. it's actually going pretty well. The lab in our department has been completely converted to Ubuntu, and it uses only free and open source software now. In fact, it is called the Free and Open Source Software Lab.
Very cool.
And from my students' point of view, we're not computer scientists. I teach in the information systems department. But what I have managed to get the faculty to accept is a new course in mobile computing development, because from our point of view, the networked environment of mobile computing is the largest system in the world. And it's very interesting for us to be able to engage with this in a meaningful way. And sure, we can go up there and we can talk to our students about mobile computing and its benefits and pluses and minuses, et cetera, et cetera. But then we can also, of course, have them participate in a free and open source environment using free and open source IDEs like Eclipse, et cetera, et cetera, and see what we can achieve there. And that's going to be my first step. And we'll see what we do after that based on the outcomes.
That is awesome. Grant, thank you so much for sharing your story. I hope that we'll hear more about the kind of things that you're doing on the opensource.com education channel, perhaps.
Yeah, I'll be making some postings there.
That's excellent. And also, of course, at teachingopensource.org. So,
you're
very
welcome,
nice
Matt.
To meet you. It's great
you
to
too.
See you at SIGSE. The Those Who Can Teach and Do podcast series is made available under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike version 3.0 license. The audio for this series is processed using the open source application Audacity. The funky tune you are listening to in the background is 20 Go To 10, a Creative Commons licensed piece by Core Wizard and Dark Master. editorial support and mental health counseling for the Those Who Can Teach and Do podcast series provided by Mary Bitter and the rest of the opensource.com team. This is Matt Jaded. Thanks for listening.